Tafresh Yudalit Sif Aleph. Dine Sikha Banila Sisando. So Sif Aleph. Also Loss of Afila Mixes Kufaya Filo Ena El Lahavra Zoom. So different than what he wrote by Rechitza, he says when it comes to Sikha, Chazal, which is more a higher level of Tainug, so Chazal answered, even if the purpose is to take away dirtiness or the Zuma, the perspiration, etc. So different than we said by Tisha B'Av, so the, where we said putting on deodorant is mutter, so on Yom Kippur, putting on deodorant is osur, even though the goal is just to take away zuma, to prevent the sweatiness, etc. That's Chazal asur, that when it comes to sikha, because it's not water. Rechitza would be mutter for that purpose. If it's something which is dry, like a powder, that's not a problem. But even by case of sikha, a person's sick, fill ein boy sakana, but to put sikha on because the person is ill, or because he has some type of a chatotin, some type of bumps on his head which need to be softened with oil, so that's permitted. So that's the tzarech refuah. And you're going to get involved on the other end, so. Why is it also because of refuah on Shabbos and Yom Tov, Yom Kippur? There's an issue of refuah, so you have to find the balance. So we'll see what the Mishnah Berurah is going to talk about that. So Sifkat Nal, I feel ain't no El Zuma. So learn about the Af Shehu Shalom L'Shem Tanug, even though it's not for Tanug purposes. So we said by Rechitza that's going to be Mutter, but over here it's Osir. Now there are poskim who do not differentiate between sikha and rechitza. But Mishnah Berurah is going with the shita which holds that there, it's so we're more makel by rechitza according to the way the Mishnah Berurah is reading. Chatotin, v'hanu davka b'makom shenoygan losuch b'chel afila ishbori. Now, why isn't there a problem of refuah? So there's not a problem of sikha because you're doing it because it's beneficial for the illness, the psoriasis or whatever that is. But you have a different problem. You can't do refuah on Shabbos. So the answer is that way back in Hilchos Shabbos, he presented the concept: if you're doing an action which healthy people do, so Chazal did not ask for that for the purpose of refuah. So a person's taking a food which healthy people would eat also, even though he's eating it because it has medicinal properties and it's beneficial for his illness, Chazal did not ask for that. They only asked for something which is clearly a refuah element. So we're talking about a case that we're in a place, in a location of where people put sikha, b'chol, even ishbor, even a person who's healthy, puts on oils, he anoints himself, they used to perfumed oils to make themselves look nice, smell nice, etc. So they put oil on regularly, so it's not, the act of anointing oil is not automatically considered refuah. So then, you all do for chatotah. A person who's healthy does not do sikha. So then you can't put it do sikha ben b'yamta ben b'shabbos the mukhshul who b'shem refuah kliyabos emeshin chavzayin sif aluf be'agol. And this idea was presented before that if it's obvious that it's for the purposes of refuah, then it's aser. Now it's interesting kenetz over here because in Yom Kippur nobody's allowed to do sikha. So why isn't it obvious it's for refuah then? If the whole answer is, well, it doesn't look like refuah because, you know, people are healthy also sometimes put on oil. That's true on a regular Shabbos. So regular Shabbos, people are healthy sometimes put on oil to smell nice.
Maybe they mean in general. Not
right, so you can have to say over here means, so it's a chiddush, means since in general it's not for the tzarech, it's not obvious it's for tzarech refuah.
Right.
That's enough to give it a shame of not nicker,
yeah,
that Chazal didn't answer it. Which is a chiddush. Okay. Now, how do we judge our place? It's interesting. The Mishnah Berurah over there said in Shin Chav Zayin that nowadays most people just do sikha, these type of oils, just for refuah purposes. So then it's going to come out that it's going to be nicker, it's for refuah, and it's also. Now, But he points out that Chazal only asked her these things if the person wasn't nafil l'mishkav. If it was painful or irritating enough to the point the person would be nafil l'mishkav because of it, so Chazal were ma'atir it. Because they're dealing with Yisurim Drabonim, because I only ask that a person has a Mechash Balma. It's an irritant, it's uncomfortable. To the point, there's an awful Mishkav, it's Mutter. Okay. Fine. So that's by Sicha. That's different than Rechitza, which we have. Now, the Mishnah Berurah brought a Taz over there. A Taz was Macher by Rechitza also. L'Havra Zum. He holds no difference in Rechitza and Sicha. Both are Osir. Nobody else, both are Mutter. But the Mishnah Berurah said, no, Sicha is Osir, Rechitza is Mutter, L'Havra Zum. That's Sicha. Beis. Sif Beis. Also, lino sandal or minel shel or. You can't wear different types of either sandal or a shoe made out of leather. I feel kava kiteya b'kiyotze by a person who's had been amputated. Part of his leg has been amputated. So they call it kiteya. Part of his leg is, and they made a fake leg or a fake foot. So filo shel etzim mechupa or is also, even if that if there is leather in it, so that's also. Abel shel gemi, if the shoe is made out of gemi, gemi was some type of a pliable type of a reed, and you could weave it together. Or shel kash, or straw, or shel beged, it's cloth, or shel sharminim, or any other type of material. Mutar filolot is behem rishas adam, and those are permitted to wear out and even to the streets. Mishabur is going to say, what's the chiddush of going into the street? Because in general, on Shabbos, some of these things are prohibited to wear on Shabbos in the streets. A person has a lot of stand on a leather pillow. The Chazal answered the shoe, or the Torah answered the shoe. If you look at the Raisa, the other Inuim are the Raisa. So the Isser is wearing the shoe, but standing on a leather cloth, or even a leather pillow, is mutter. But there is an argument to be machmer, and if a person is machmer, is definitely given a bracha. Shel or gimel, sukkot and gimel. Atavaka is going back both on the case of the sandal or the minel. As the sandal who shall or kosher, minel who shall or rach. The common nature of the way they would make them was that a sandal was a hard leather, give you a hard sandal type of a. And a shoe was more supple. The leather was more supple. Kava kiteya. Shinitza ragla, his leg was amputated. Oysa came in the foot regular. They make some which is the shape of a foot. Beish base kibble cotton. So the stump of his leg is made that there's a place which holds the stump. Machlasham roish shoiker. So the stump of his leg goes into this indentation on the top of the. Of the leg, of the wooden leg, who curry kav? That's referred to as the kav. Umaria, but mechaber shaso shall or wooden imahu shall etim chupa or to the kameh. So even if you made it, whether you made it out of a leather, the whole thing was made out of leather, or it was just made out of wood, but covered with leather to make it easier for him to put his the stump of his leg there. Both are us, because that functions like what holds his foot or his leg. Abba shel gemi, the chol sheino shel or eino nikra minel ela malbush. So it's made out of other materials. It's not considered. It's considered. It's not a shoe. It's a garment. Now, or some say that if it's made out of wood. So that's a problem, even without any leather. Some say if you wear a other materials which are in the shape of a regular shoe, and it functions equivalent to a shoe, that it protects the foot, it doesn't, you don't feel any of the feelings of feeling as if you're shoeless, you're barefoot, so that's not inui. So some are machmer on that. So he brings this as a shari tshuva from the in the name of the Panim Meiris. Ufiza huadin be kaloshin shaguma shal yesh lachmer. If you have rubbers, galoshes, kaloshin is galoshes, right? Made out of rubber. That's also a problem. You cannot definitely not have any issue with the people which are lenient, because the Shulchan Aruch allows it. A person is able to should be machmer, should wear just socks, but to wear a formed type of a shoe which gives support, similar to the way a shoe gives support, that a person should be machmer. That
what
a person who's machmer,
form type,
a other materials,
foreign
that it has the form of a shoe. Chenim tzarach lots of zechutzel. Now, but even though you're being machmer, so we're saying that we look at that type of a shoe. So let's say, according to him, it seems that let's say you would have a good sneaker, which gives a lot of support. So that good sneaker, which has a lot of support, is fairly similar to a shoe. So you should be machmer. Now a person has to go out into the street. So he's going to say in a second, a person goes into the street where there's pebbles and rocks and mud, you got to wear shoes. The eating doesn't require you to make yourself into have actual pain. So the little pebbles in the street, you got to put on shoes. So what's your choice of putting on a leather shoe or this other shoe? Obviously, you should put on this other shoe. Right, you're being machmer. Say, oh, it's like a shoe. It's like a shoe. I can somebody just put on a regular shoe when I go outside. That's not true. Come welcome. In tzara lots of the chutz. No, can you hear shashibash elav levodim? I got kaloshim laminolim shalor sheish behem isemedina ma shen ken elu shem rak mishumchum. So these are chumra. So these would be the right thing to wear. The person has to go outside, and it's uncomfortable to walk just in your socks. You should put these on.
That's why some people, when they wear sneakers until they get to the shul, then they take them off.
Correct.
And they wear socks.
Correct. Oishal Baggett. So he'll discuss later on one of the cases where it's permitted to put shoes on. You know. So you made it out of cloth. It's not covered by leather. Neither on the upper or on the sole. So then, mutalot is a filot, a sign. In the middle, the also lots of a shoe, which is also to wear, also fill the tile by bivayas mimi to the mita. You can't even wear it in your house from one bed to the other. You can't wear it at all. Okay. You're allowed to wear it out to Rishon Zerab. Now, what's the chiddush over here? So, you're allowed to wear this cloth shoe out to Rishon Zerab. But so learn. If you never wear these type of shoes the whole year, they're not considered a normal shoe, so you can't wear them out because they're not considered a regular garment. For the day of Yom Kippur, this is called a normal shoe. So this is to the derech of what you would wear, so it's not considered you're carrying something, whereas opposed to the rest of the year you're carrying something, because it's not called a normal garment that a person would wear. These cloth shoes that they would make, etc. um So the Berlochim here brings that the Morgan of Rome brings on the Bach, not like this, that he's Machim. And he says, no, Yom Kippur is not different than the rest of the year. And since the rest of the year we're saying it's not considered a garment, it's not a normal garment to wear, and you wouldn't be allowed to wear it out to Rosh Hashanah. So who then on Yom Kippur, you can't wear it out to Rosh Hashanah. And then he says, not only that, you can't even wear it into the Mavui or into Chatzah, which doesn't have an Erev. It's not considered a Malbush B'chlal. He does point out the wearing socks is not a problem, because socks definitely are considered a garment. Even though you wouldn't normally go out into the street in socks, that doesn't take away from their garment status that they're not considered carrying when you wear your socks. But it's considered carrying, so, in other words, way back when we learned, we talked about the lochos that we saw. So it's always lot dafka with your hands, right? And more so, the person takes a pencil, puts a pencil behind his ear, that's considered carrying. Shabbos, it's considered tzor. So wearing even you're wearing these things on your feet, it's not considered so much normally you're wearing your feet. That's a form of carrying. You're carrying something on your foot. So it'd be a problem with tzor. But the Mishnah passing, the Mishnah is passing the kula. And so that's for Yom Kippur, this becomes the Malbush. You're allowed to stand on pillows of leather, shelor. Shein's a zuhanoa sterech nila is not considered a noa of wearing a shoe. Lo shel a kashu ma nilo yibarago. This is nila sasan, wearing on your foot. Kamokam ma'akma tabla bracha, but the remorse is even so, a person who is careful with this will receive a bracha. He disagrees with the Ramah. He says, no, there's no concern at all. The Chazal only asked her shoes, and they did not ask her standing on a pillow, a leather pillow. This is you're allowed to stand on a pillow or on some type of a mattress made out of leather is not for davening. There's a certain act, the process of Shemoneh Esrei is a person is submitting himself in submission to his Creator, and he's standing on fancy carpets, you know. He says, so he feels that that's a problem. The person would put pillows under his feet and stand on that for Shemoneh Esrei. That's improper. I want to lama to show ish mitzunon amata sovim lahafzik ben akar. Person who's cold by nature and having his feet directly on the ground, which is cold, it's difficult for him. So he's allowed to put some type of straw or something in between. He shouldn't be standing directly on the ground. It's interesting how different people perceive different things. I remember once there was a fellow came to tell us for Yom Kippur. He brought this beautiful rollout carpet. Says that Anachlo Karim Mishtachem Moedim, like a nice plush thick carpet, and a big thing. And he rolled it out. It was up for two people to do Karim.
He had enough room for it.
And they put it, right before Kerem, he scared to clear out the space, and he rolled it out.
Got rid of everybody around.
So he and his son took the space, And so, it was gorgeous, Heder Mitzvah, but it was pretty plush. It's exactly we're submitting ourselves in submission to our Creator on a 15-inch foam mattress, it doesn't. It's missing something. In his mind, that was considered a hitter. He looked at it as it was a beautiful hitter. Whoever made the carpet obviously thought like that also.
That's just on himself.
Right. He thought it was a sure hitter,
I'm talking about standing on a carpet when someone's wearing leggings.
He's talking about cases of standing on pillows.
Not on a carpet, on a pillow.
Right.
Someone's wearing leggings.
No, he's not wearing anything. He's wearing
socks.
Right. Fine. That's not considered a derech gaiva that he has, So you have a person who has a little mat or something like that, just give a little bit of support. It shouldn't be so hard. That's not what they're talking about. But a person making something fancy, fluffy, soft, smooth, and nice, and to make it, you know, really comfortable, you have to be. But during Shemoneh Esrei, that my heels, it's problematic. Okay, Gimel. Hakai, a woman who just gave birth. So we have concerns about her health. So wearing, going barefoot, because remember, the option was really wearing shoes and going barefoot. So going barefoot is on the cold ground is not healthy for her. Eventually it weakens, it really can wear the person out, exhaust the person dealing with the cold. So a woman just gave birth. So Chazal permitted her to wear the sandal for the first 30 days. And again, this is one of the rayas which the Ran brings. The other name have to be the Rabbonon, because the raisa, the fact that it's uncomfortable or difficult, is not going to matter.
Who is the one Tana who would have imagined Mishnah Rabbi Meir or something?
That sounds right, sir.
No,
the Chachamim said that. It didn't say the Chachamim. It just says that he says the Chai is much as such. Nobody argues. Chelut ki yetzibo afa bishon ein by sakana kemi sheish to makab barakul. And chelut is also permitted, and a person is a makab barakul. So all of these are permitted. That's a Rabbi Eliezer, I think, the Mishnah. Kol shoshim yoyim.
Rabbi Eliezer.
Yeah. The Rosh Hashanah Tzina, Tzina Kashalo, for 30 days, we consider the cold is difficult for her.
Chachamim were against him later.
V'chein l'chaylo, or the Mishyesh l'mako, kulam Tzina Kashalo. The person who's a chaylo, or a person has a maka baraglov, all these people, Tzina is considered difficult for them, so Chazal did not ask her for them. Okay. Dalit. Mutzer kol adam. So we said, there are some cases where a person would, any person would be allowed to wear shoes. What's that example? So mutter kol adam lino sandal machos akrov here at Zaboy, kadeshal yushkenah. They're living in a place where akrovim are common, so you need some type of protection on your foot that the akrov shouldn't be able to bite. So you have a nice strong leather shoe; it can't bite through the shoe. So you want to wear shoes as protection from that. So Chazal said you're allowed to wear the shoe. They didn't ask you to wear the shoe in that situation. It's no, they didn't have paved roads, so the rain came down means it's mud outside. Right? So he needs to go home, or vice versa. Who is in this? And he is a person which is very sensitive, so walking directly on the in the cold mud is going to be difficult for him. So what's a minol of Achimagil Dimkar? He's allowed to wear the shoes till he gets to where he has to get to, and then of course he has to take them off. Okay. Yudalf, little sandal machmas akrov. So he's allowed to wear the sandal because of the be a protection, or the shoe to be a protection against the scorpions. So not only is this permitted if he has a valid mitzvah purpose why he's going to where he's going to, that he needs a protection, but he's even going for his own personal whatever reason why he's going. So you're going to a place where there's a problem. So who asked you to go there? Well, I want to go there. So there's a mishkayach. So not, why should we matter wearing the shoe to go somewhere which you don't have to go to? No. If you felt there's a valid need to go, so you're not wearing the shoe for the comfort. You're wearing the shoe for the protection from the akra. So Chazal did nasir. Or a case where it was rainy and muddy. Who is in this? Which is Ish Mitzunah, and he's a colder person. So the cold affects him. Or who did him, who Ish Chalosh, or he's a weak person. And it can affect his health adversely if he goes in a place where it's wet and cold without shoes. So that's permitted. Aber Mishen Istin is a person who's not sensitive. Well, you know Minolov. Im Sarach Loi, Leilach Afilo Im Yorduk Shem. If you have a reason why you have to go, so go without the shoes. Even though it rained. But Prash Olchem on Pilos, especially if you're wearing the socks, and can Ein Lehem Sarach Okach, Bolei Minolov. So they're wearing their socks, it's not so bad. Im Loi Shiyesh Shom Boris Refish V'Titz, those kulyama kinistas is that the case where the ground is very, very muddy and very dirty. So for walking through that, especially when it's wet, is going to be very uncomfortable for the person. So then everybody would have the dinam anistas for that purpose. Now the Mishnah Berurah seems to be, say hold clearly that walking in the socks is permitted. So the socks are going to get soaked.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. It's not the problem is after when you get to where you're going, your socks are soaking wet.
So the problem, that's an instant problem. But there's also a problem of when you're walking, your socks are soaking. So isn't there a problem of schita? Every time you step on them, you're squeezing out liquid. Mm. Is there a problem of schita or not? The heter seems to be that you have no kavana for that purpose at all. It's not even a psik ratio because it's the skita of it's machlekes gufa. Yeah, it's a there is that if there is an option of changing socks, that's when you probably get burned in the towels. It's better the person shouldn't be walking around with soaking wet socks and squeezing out the liquid. The person should change to the dry socks. Okay. Mutzer.
That's if he has them.
If he has, yeah.
You don't always have a spare pair, I'm sure.
True. Mutzer lino. A person is going to Beis HaKisei, which in those days was outside, and he doesn't wear shoes, his feet are going to get dirty with whatever is there in the Beis HaKisei. So you're allowed to wear your shoes to there. I will take him. Once you leave that area which is dirty, you need to remove the shoes. And even the instance which we permitted him to go outside wearing the shoes. Take him kashiyavu l'makom she'ein lo tzar. Once he reaches a place where it's no longer a discomfort for him, it's uncomfortable for him. Tzarach also somebody has to take away the shoes. Well, the loikos and shenagim shalchem asandam rechayv. Now that the people which they walk through the streets wearing the sandal, which maybe we could argue that's permitted, then if you'll be a kinesis. They continue to wear them until they get to their seat in the shul. So that's wrong. As soon as you walk in the door, you should take them off and then carry them to your seat. You shouldn't wear them. It's a gadolu. Now, if you welcome Shemotolino, in a place where it's permitted, so even a place where it's permitted, if you can do some element of making it somewhat uncomfortable, you should. How is that? He suggests switching the shoes right to left and left to right. He brings in the Sharetzi and the Yerkes. If you can get a shoe which has no heel, that's even better because that's definitely uncomfortable. But you don't say, and then he said, points out, don't say, well, if that's true, so then any person can wear it as long as he does that. That's not true. We remater, and it's an error of an istinus to wear a shoe without a heel. But an average person is not an istinus, so, well, a shoe without a heel. No, that's very nice. That's not what. Minolov. So you should take off. So in that situation, he's allowed to wear his shoes until he gets to his place. Well, Yigabaham. When you put them on, you should have some type of a separation between the shoe and your hands. Because he has to wash his hands where he touched the hand which touched the shoe. So so there's a halacha which is brought down back in all the way back in Siman Daled, that a person who takes off his shoes or touches his shoes has to wash his hands. So but if you use some type of a garment in between, so that's not, doesn't, he doesn't have to. I think I told you over from, I once heard from Rabbi Yonason Tendler. Rabbi Tendler from Baltimore Sons, that he was in Manchester and he was walking with the Manchester Yeshiva, that's Rav Segal. They were talking and learning. Rav Segal's shoes got untied. So Yonason bent down to tie his shoes for him, because he was elderly. And then they were talking and learning. So he wanted the Rashi wanted to talk to him, talking and learning. So he said, "I have to wash my hands." He says, "No, you don't. I'll tell you a maisa." He says, when he was a young bocher, he was by the Chofetz Chaim. They were walking together. They were talking and learning. The Chofetz Chaim's shoes got untied, and he bent down to tie the Chofetz Chaim's shoes. And the Chofetz Chaim wanted to continue talking and learning, and he said, "I don't have to wash my hands." The Chofetz Chaim said, "No." He said, "Why? I know the law in Siman Daled, when you touch your shoes, you have to wash your hands." He says that Chazal touched up, and when you walked in a world where there was the roads really were dirty, there was a lot of animal droppings and things, etc. So the shoes get a status of something which is considered like a matuna thing. So Chazal said you have to wash your hands when you touch your shoes. But nowadays you walk in a place where there's pavement and it's clean, there's only cars, no animals, etc. The shoes do not have that status, that they consider the matuna, that there's a chiyuv to wash your hands before you're allowed to continue to learn or to daven. So that's what the Chofetz Chaim told the Rav Segal, who then told Rabbi Tendler, who then shared that with me one time, we were shmoozing, and told me over that fascinating. I once actually suggested it. So I was talking one night, so I said, "Well, tell your maisa." This is what I heard from that might be true. Now, pi kabbalah, it's considered a davar tamei. That's a whole different concept. That doesn't prohibit you from learning or davening.
And you, so, if the Baptist time felt that way, why didn't you put it in Mishabura?
A lot of things, the Baptist time did not write in Mishabura. He didn't feel willing to get the pirish of the Shulchan Aruch. He felt it was a chiddush that he said, you know, he wouldn't necessarily write it in the Mishabura. Let's just finish up over here.
Without getting the pirish of the Shulchan Aruch.
Right, so he said it would not prevent you from learning or davening. There is isn't to wash your hands anyway, because there's a apikabola, touching your shoes is considered davar tamei, because the shoe represents the place where the human being, which is the neshama, the godless of a human being, touches the oritz. So that's like, that's the element of where you're touching the ground, which is a lower madrega. So there's a chiyuv, there's an inyan of washing, that's the tuma element of, you know, Kabbalistic tuma concept. But that din of tuma does not prohibit learning or davening. But out the union that a shoe is considered a davar matuna, if it's considered a dirty thing, that's no longer true. That's what he said.
But you should still try to wash your hands.
Out this other union, right? Mm-hmm. Right. But for that argument, on Yom Kippur Lamosha would not be a reason to wash, because it doesn't prohibit you from learning or davening. Let's just finish over here. So you're allowed to wear the shoes until he reaches the place. So you don't keep them with you in the shul. You either send them home or you put them away to the side. The fisha lichluk shel manolim, who zilzul lebeis haknesses biyam hakadosh kazeh. It's the keeping these dirty shoes sitting in there in the shul next to you, like, you know, with their mud, if that was the case, why are you schlepping that into shul? That would be wrong to step it into the shul. So you shouldn't schlep these dirty shoes full of mud into the shul. You should put them off to the side. Even if you have to go amongst the goyim on Yom Kippur, even though they're going to laugh at you and think it's strange, you walk around in socks or whatever it is, So, and we find for kavod habriyos we're makel on certain rabbanans, but since some hold that the iser on the ilchos hamdos d'oraisa, so we're not going to be matir. The chashash of the bizoyin because of the potential iser d'oraisa, so we're not going to be matir the chashash of the bizoyin because of the chashash of bizoyin. Just one point over here. 1 second. But Chalal, the Mishnah Berurah talks about back in Hilchos Tefillah, actually, he says that they used to wear these called shtivalach. Shtivalach were like big boots, the big Russian boots, you know, that they leather boots go up to their top up their thigh, etc. So he says that you can't wear them into the shul; you have to take them off because they're made for going outside into the snow, into the mud, it's not covered by sekneses to wear them in. So I remember what my Rebbe said. So he would hold that the people wearing rubbers, they have galoshes they put on over their shoes. They really should take them off when you come to the shul, according to that Mishnah Berurah. They're not really made for standing inside of a house. They're made for when you go outside. Suppose it's very it's a tircha, so he leaves them on. It's very nice. It's not covered by zekanesis to wear them. It would be improper to wear them like that. Obviously, a person's a very elderly person. It's very difficult for him to get them on and off. We're not talking about that. But the average guy, it's a little bit of a tearful. So I was always mocking him. The problem he always has, of course, is you put them on the outside, you end up come back and not sure they're going to be there because somebody by mistake took one of your rubbers. That's a different sugya. But the cover of Sekhness is really a person really should be taking them off. A person should not be wearing them inside. Okay, let's hold it here. I will let you know about tomorrow night because I have Seskal Mashalom for somebody, which I think it's called for 6:30, so it really shouldn't be a stira, but I have to find out for sure what the time is.